In the fourth chapter of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, I guess that decided so it was such a pretty thing that it was going to just stay there. And for the first time in a long time, I have developed a loss of memory. Not my memory. This is all computer stuff. Anyway, we'll not worry about that. But I'll give you the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 2. Now, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." In his closing remarks of this lesson, the Apostle Paul is reminding the brethren here of something that he had already taught them. And that is how Christians are to have a walk that is pleasing to God. That should be a goal that we have, a walk that is pleasing to God. But you say, well, is it important to please God? Well, yes, it is. And especially as opposed to men. We know that Paul told the brethren in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, that he always was pleasing God and not men. He said, if I in fact were to be busy pleasing men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Our first concern in all things is to be pleasing to God. Now, this may be that we are pleasing to some men when we're pleasing to God, but that's not our first concern. That's not the first thing we think about. We think about being pleasing to God. Our service to God through Jesus Christ is pictured many different ways in the scriptures. As a part of the body, for instance. As making up the spiritual temple. And the one we all think, branches in a vine. You know, participants in a race, as Paul presents it. But here, it is presented as a walk. Now, just exactly what does it mean to walk with God? Well, I want you to turn your attention over to Genesis. Just one second here. I'll get where I belong. This the one? Nope, that's the wrong one. Oh boy. Okay. Give me just a second. I know I can find this. There it is. Couldn't find it. No, it's not there. Okay, let's try it again. There we go. Now we're going to get on track here. Okay. What is it that we mean by a walk or walking with God? Well, in Genesis 5, and I want you to turn over to Genesis 5 with me and look at verse 21. Notice it says here that Enoch lived 75 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked, Enoch walked, 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Verse 23. So all the days of Enoch were 365 days. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch sought and enjoyed the companionship of God. His life conformed to the way which God directed. And so he found God's nearness all of his life. Notice that when people had been with Jesus while he walked on the earth, it was obvious. Look at Acts 4 and verse 13, what it says. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now look at what. And perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, and they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Notice with me, their boldness pointed to the fact they'd been with Jesus. And as we know, they continue to walk with him. But today we need to seek companionship with God, listening to his word, not seeking the companionship of the books of men. And I feel this is a very important subject. While there is good to be gained by reading from the works of men, putting all your emphasis on reading the works of men and not reading what God said can be detrimental. I think it has become quite obvious in the case of some, especially young men, who have given themselves to the reading of the books of men and not much time in reading God's word. And it is evident in what they teach. That whenever they heard the gospel and believed the gospel, notice in Ephesus what happened. What did they do? They burned their books together of magic and so forth. They burned them in the sight of everybody. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot. That is a lot. But this is what needs to be done today. With the religious manuals, the disciplines, the catechisms, the handbooks that so many religions have embraced in the place of what God says. But some seek the companionship of worldly people. They seek their friends amongst evil people. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33? Read it. He begins with, "Do not be deceived." Now, what does that mean? That means there's a very good possibility that you could be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Well, many people think, well, I have some friends and they don't have any effect on me. I mean, you know, what does that mean? What does that say about us? It says we're already deceived. Walk with God. When you walk with God, you will be walking with others who are doing the same thing. I think we need to take to heart the words of Amos in Amos 3 and verse 3. He says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, I mean, you could, yeah, obviously, you could be walking to the train or the subway or whatever, and you're walking with people, but you're not walking with them in the sense he's talking about. We're talking about people who have agreed on the path they're going to take, how they're going to walk that path, where they're going to go. We have to be agreed in order to walk the way he's talking. So the question would be, who are you walking with? Now, while you're thinking about that, remember this, you must be agreed with them. Who is it that you spend time with, that you walk with? Are they walking with God? If they aren't, then that calls into question where you're walking. But let me go on here. I'm going to get sidetracked and run out of time. You must walk before God. Now, someone says, oh, no, now just a minute. You can't walk ahead of God. I'm not talking about walking ahead of God. But I'm talking about walking under his scrutiny. In Genesis, the 17th chapter, and verses 1 and 2, we read, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am Almighty God. Now listen to what he told Abraham. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. If we are willing to walk with God, we are in his presence. And he can freely inspect us. Now, whenever people are getting dressed or trying on new clothing, or they often look in the mirror to see what they look like, you know. Or they ask a spouse or a friend about their appearance. But we need to remember that God is looking at us, and we need to be sure that our lives are what he wants them to be. In the book of James, the first chapter, down at verse 22, James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man that he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We need to look frequently into the mirror of God's word and honestly evaluate our conduct and our attitudes. And don't think you can get away with anything before God. In Proverbs 15, And verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Have you ever had any question in your mind about whether God sees what's going on? There it is right there. He sees everything. Peter presents us with a strong motivation to walk before the God in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. He said, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, loving as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. There are many other examples of those who have walked before God. I think Job is probably one of the ones that we speak about most often as one who walked before God. But in Isaiah chapter 2, I'm going to talk about him this afternoon, so I'm going to leave that alone. Isaiah 38, we read about Hezekiah. He reminded the Lord of how he had walked before him in truth. Yeah, Hezekiah walked before the Lord. Paul, on several occasions, asked as to others to walk as he did. Remember that in Acts 20 and verse 8. But is that all? No, we have to walk after God. That is, we have to follow his teaching. In Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. People oftentimes get into trouble when they follow the wrong leader. One example, it might be the stock market. In the stock market, it might be following the wrong investment company. In politics, it might be following blindly the wrong party. In everyday life, it might be following the wrong crowd. God warned his people in Exodus 32 or 23 and 2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Don't do it. King Solomon, in all of his wisdom, I thought that lesson that Evan taught on Wednesday was an excellent one. But it's last Sunday evening it was. King Solomon, in all of his wisdom, turned aside after his foreign wives, and his heart was turned aside from God. Peter declared, whom we must follow in Acts 5 and 29, when he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We see the importance here of following the right leader, not to train our young people, we need to train our young people to follow after God, walk after God. Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You get them started in the right direction, they got a better chance. If you don't start them in the right direction, good luck. Paul says the training which Timothy had, he had received, notice, from his grandmother and his mother, and it was the very reason for his strong faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And the time to begin is when children are very young. There's a danger in waiting. Notice Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult times come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. That's what can happen if you don't start early. I believe without any doubt or any reservation whatsoever that every Christian is concerned with the way they walk every day. And they should be. I want you to notice here some compound words, and I can't claim originality. You know, originality is when you forget where you got it. And I don't know where I got this. So anyway, compound words used to describe the way men walk, okay? And these are all compounded with the word aggressive, which comes from the Latin word for walk, okay? First of all, transgressive. Now, this would apply to those who engage in innovations and things like that. They're described by John in 2 John 9 through 11. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now, to transgress means to go crossways. You're over here, you decide to go over here. Transgress. And does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, if anyone comes to you and doesn't bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, because he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. But we move on to the digressive. That is to turn aside, like the compass has a needle that moves away from a magnet. Turn aside. These are described by Paul in 1 Timothy 1, 5 through 7. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from a sincere faith. Now listen, from which some, having strayed, having turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, and understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. They are digressive. But we also have the retrogressive. That is what Orpah, who was Ruth's sister-in-law, did while Ruth stayed with her mother-in-law. I'm not going to take the time to read Ruth. We'll get that in our daily Bible reading. But all of us know the situation. Everybody left her mother-in-law except for Ruth. And it's what Demas did to Paul. According to 2 Timothy 4 and 10, Demas has forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world and departed for Thessalonica. And finally, now this is all the different ways that people walk, the progressive. This means growth and development. Well, you say, well, now just a minute, growth and development, that can be good. Well, yeah, it can be good, but it can be bad too, because there's good and bad both. We find Paul saying in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14 that he advanced in Judaism beyond many of his contemporaries within his own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of his fathers. Notice, he advanced beyond those of his own age. But it was a wrong direction. It was a wrong direction. And many are doing this today. They're not satisfied with the old paths. So what are they doing? Well, they're going outside the authority of the Scriptures for the sake of progress. But in reality, what are they doing? Well, they're digressing, transgressing, and regressing. Exactly. Growth that we are to experience in our walk with, before, and after God is clearly stated by Peter in 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. How are you walking today? Are you walking with God? Are you walking before God? Are you walking after God? Or are you on some other path, walking with someone else? You need to think seriously about this, because it has eternal consequences, far beyond the things of this world. We hope that you will give that careful consideration, and that if you find that you have not been walking the way you should walk, that you will do what's necessary to bring yourself into covenant relationship with God once again, that you might someday enjoy that eternal home with God the Father and the saved of all the ages.